was is in the red hymn book, the Majesty Hymn Book 496, we're going to sing the first two verses as a choir, and then we invite you to sing the third verse with us on 496. On that third verse in the red hymn book. Wonderful to gather together to ask the Lord's blessing. That's what we're doing this morning. We're gathering together to ask God's blessing upon this service. He has told us to assemble together with the saints, as he says all through the scriptures. We're going to sing number 624 in the blue hymn book, 624. Count your blessings. Name them one by one. 624 in the blue hymn book. And let's all stand together as we sing this song.
Thank you.
down a couple blessings. Who would like to share a blessing? What are you thankful to God for this morning? Yes, Eric. Amen. All right, Zion. Zamora, I'm sorry. Amen. Good harvest party. That was great. Yes, Jimmy. Amen. Good to have you back, Holly. Patty. Amen. 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 God answers prayer. Yes. Wonderful. Amen. God answers prayer. Let's give the Lord praise. Amen. God deserves all the glory. Amen. That's exciting. So keep praying for Renee Wilkes. She's one of our longtime friends of the church, a precious sister in the Lord. Anyone else? Yes, Jimmy. Amen. This is right. Miss Mimi. Amen. Praise God. Yes. Brother Jerry. Amen. Amen. Carl. Amen. Amen. Let's pray for Mary Bell that she can come out with us. All right, let's sing that third verse. 624 on the third.
When you look at others with their last and hope, think that Christ has promised you His wealth untold. Count your many blessings money cannot buy, your reward in heaven or your home on high. Count your blessings, name them one by one.
What a great song to remind us, wait, angels are watching over us every day. God's watching over us every day. Well, He's giving us what we need. A lot of times we just forget those simple truths from Scripture because Satan tries to get us to forget them. So what a blessing to sing those. Let us bow together in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You, O great God, that You are so wonderful to us. Amen. That this Thanksgiving that we can celebrate today and this Thursday, that we can be so grateful to You. Because even though we have trials, tribulations, and problems, that You, as our loving Heavenly Father, are going to bring us through them. And You are already bringing us through them. Lord, I pray You'd meet each need here today, Lord. You know all the needs among each one of us today. That You would just meet in a very special and mighty way these needs. You would provide what is needed for those that don't have a place to go yet for Thanksgiving, for those that may need food, shelter, or clothing. Lord, we pray you continue to provide in a great and mighty way for them. We pray for those of us that have these things, that we would be a blessing to others this Thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you so much. You have blessed us with, most importantly, your Son Jesus and his shed blood on the cross of Calvary. We pray you'd bless our missionaries, the Bruners in the Philippines, the Larges in Nicaragua, and among the other missionaries that they're encouraging, and the Kellers in Ukraine. Lord, I pray you'd bless each one, that you'd help them to, as they preach the gospel, that many souls would be saved, many Christians would grow in you. Lord, we pray for our church ministries. We thank you for the Good News Club, that we were able to see six children come to faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. We know that as a result of you drawing them to yourself, as a result of you working in their hearts, convicting them of their sin, and showing them their need of a Savior. Lord, we pray now for those families, the parents, the grandparents, the aunts, the uncles, brothers, the sisters, that they would hear the gospel as well and be saved. We pray you'd bless the service today, that you'd fill me with thy Spirit, that you'd fill each one of us with your Spirit, that we would be hearers and doers of the Word. We pray you'd bless this coming week for your honor and glory, and be with those who need prayer. We think of Patty as she heals from cancer. Lord, I pray you'd heal her in a great and mighty way. We pray for Sister Mimi. We thank you that she's doing much better. We pray you'd continue to heal her body. We pray for Roy Gibson at the Royal Suites Rehab Center in Galloway. We pray you just put your healing hands upon him, that you would help him to stabilize with his blood pressure and with his strength, with the therapy, that he would be able to get out soon and come back home. We pray for Arthur at Meadowview. We pray you just put your healing hands upon him. Pray for Susie Evans' brother, Larry Sebrin at Atlantic City Hospital. We pray you put your healing hands upon him, that he may get out soon as well. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn back to our hymn book, 422. In the blue hymn book, 422, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever.
Oh, how sweet the glorious
you've ever sung that hymn? Anybody? First time? Okay, quite a few. We'll sing that second verse.
He who pardoned every sinner never needs no fear. He who came to faithless summons all thy doubt to clear. He who let the love disciple
with love. are thankful that Jesus never changes. Amen. 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 Praise God. Let us turn to our Bible for our scripture reading. We're going to go to Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Psalm 100. Let's all stand together as we sing this, or say, this psalm of thanksgiving. Brother Jerry, would you come and read this one for us? And I know some of our young people know this psalm. If you know this song, you're welcome to come up and say it with Brother Jerry as well. If you know Psalm 100.
Is this together or responsibly?
Responsibly.
Responsibly. Okay, Psalm 100. And we will read this responsibly. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. May God bless the reading of his holy word.
At this time, we'll direct your attention to our bulletin. Does anyone need one? We'll be happy to get one to you. A bulletin, it says, "Be ye thankful." We're so thankful for all that God is doing in our lives. Does anyone need one? Keep your hand up, and one of our ushers or junior ushers will be happy to get one to you. All right. It's a blessing to celebrate Thanksgiving together. This coming Wednesday night, we're going to have a special Thanksgiving Eve candlelight service. So we invite any of you who, all of you to come and worship God with us this Wednesday night, for our Thanksgiving Eve candlelight service. We're going to take time to sing some Thanksgiving songs on the overhead projector, and we're going to just keep the lights out, have candles, and then we're going to take some testimonies. What you're thankful to God for this year, what God has brought you through this year. So it's just a great time to just reflect on God's goodness. Come on out this Wednesday night, 7 o'clock, for candlelight Thanksgiving Eve service. And we're looking forward to our upcoming Christmas program. We're changing the date for our Christmas program to, instead of December 22nd, we're going to change it to December 15th. That's when we'll have our pianist here. And so we'll have the Christmas program on the 15th, and then we'll have the Christmas dinner on the 22nd. So the Sunday before Christmas will be the Christmas dinner, and then the Christmas program will be the 15th. So we'll have some flyers available next week, so you can invite your loved ones. We have a lot of the children in the live nativity. We're going to have a stable over here. We'll have Mary and Joseph from our teenagers, and we'll have the shepherds, the wise men, the angels, and so we look forward to having a great time for the Silent Night dramatized Christmas program. It's going through the song Silent Night, phrase by phrase, and just reflecting on what happened at Christmas, and then what that song is talking about as well, when Christ died on the cross. So beautiful things put together that night, or that day, on Sunday, December 15th. Okay, so change that in your bulletin. We also had some good news on the intern front. Brother Daniel Rivolo has agreed to come this coming summer to be our pastoral assistant pastor intern. And so we look forward to having him and Hannah back with us this summer in June and July. Looking forward to just their ministry. We just got so close with them that last summer, and we look forward to having them back this summer. Then on the right-hand page of the bulletin, come on back tonight as we're looking at 1 Samuel 21. David, as he runs from Saul, he ran to Samuel, he ran to Jonathan, and both of those places had the God closed the doors on. So now he runs to the tabernacle. So we'll look at that tonight, and looking at lying, the sword of Goliath, and showbread. So come on out for that special time tonight, 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Then our choir practice will be tonight at 6 p.m. to practice for the Christmas program. So please, we'd love to have you come and be a part of that, and we're looking forward to that. Then our this Wednesday night, as I mentioned, is a candlelight Thanksgiving Eve service. And then on the back page, we have our we praise the Lord for the Good News Club that happened again this Thursday. Anybody like to share what happened at the Good News Club? I know Pat was there, Paul was there, Lydia was there, Carol was there. Who would like to share what happened at the Good News Club this past Thursday? Okay, Lydia? So we had 6 total. Yes, we had a lot of kindergartners there. Yes. So praise the Lord for that. Carol, did you want to say anything else? Amen. Amen. So now we're discipling them, that all the kids that are there have been saved before. We asked them, and so now we're discipling them in how to read their Bibles. We gave out Bibles this past Thursday, how to read their Bible, how to pray, and about coming to church as well. We're going to work on that this December 5th. We don't have any this Thursday because of Thanksgiving, but December 5th will be the last Good News Club till the spring. Then we had a great time at the campfire activity. Who wants to share a quick testimony about the campfire activity? Anyone want to share?
Me.
Okay. Zeus, how'd you like the campfire on Friday night? Did you like that? Good. What'd we cook on the fire? What'd we cook on there, on our stick? Remember? Hot dogs. You're right. You got it. Anyone else want to share a blessing from Friday night? Yes, Mrs. Wright.
It was a fun time of fellowship. We all got to play together. And the Bible
Amen. Amen. We played charades. We found that we have some actors among us. Carl. Yes. No. We were able to have the campfire. Amen. All right. And just by way of other announcements, we have Christmas caroling coming up in December for our shut-ins. We're going to go around to our shut-ins, our widows and elderly singles. And that will be on December 19th. So if you can help us, we're meeting at the church at 6:30 and then going to go around and sing. So if you can help us carol. Then we'll be making cookies for our Meadowview church family over there. We go every Wednesday at 2 o'clock to Meadowview. And so we consider them our church family. And we'd love for you to make some cookies. If you can make a couple dozen or a few dozen chocolate chip or oatmeal raisin, or diabetic cookies. Just instead of adding sugar, add Splenda in there, and that makes them diabetic friendly. And if you can help us make some cookies or buy some cookies, that would be much appreciated. We'll be collecting those for putting them in bags on December 11th. So that's just there. And then we're also collecting canned goods and foods for those that are in need, first in our church family and then outside of our church family. So if you have a need, please let me know, or let Wellington know, or let one of our ushers know. And we're collecting canned goods, as well as if you have any frozen foods or any foods in your fridge or freezer or shelf-stable foods, bring them in. We're going to first give them out to any needy in our church, and then from there we'll go elsewhere. But we are made aware of some needs. So please give as the Lord has blessed you in your pantry at home for Christmas and Thanksgiving. This time we'll ask our ushers to come as we give to the Lord of our tithes and offerings to God. We invite everyone to stay today for lunch. There's an incredible meal in the next room of turkey, ham, and all the trimmings. Looking forward to a good church Thanksgiving meal. So please stay with us for lunch. Let us bow together as we give to the Lord. Let us give to God of our tithes and offerings, and sure enough, He will provide our needs. Let us bow together in prayer.
Dear God, we thank you for this day that you have made, and Lord, we thank you for this opportunity we have to be in the church, Lord, to worship you. And just thank God for this full of gratitude of your results, the offering. Please bless this gift. Bless this gift, Lord, as we give, that your name be glorified and worthy. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let us turn back in our hymn books as we sing God's praises. Hymn number 825 in the blue hymn book. 825. Let us also pray as we think of those who have needs this Thanksgiving. Pray for a few of Myra's kids. They are looking for a place to live. So let us pray for her son Lucas, as well as Egypt and Ruby, for a place to live. They each have two kids, so let us pray. Let's make that a special matter of prayer even now. So I'm going to ask maybe one or two of our men to come up and lead us in prayer for those things. Let's see, Darnell, can you come up? And Brother Jerry, can you come up as we pray? Pray for God to provide a place to live for our dear sister Egypt and Ruby and Lucas. Let us pray. Thank you.
pray that you intercede in a great mighty way on behalf of Sister Egypt and Ruby and Lucas, Lord. We thank you that they both are desiring you in their life. And we pray now that you would just intercede and provide in a great mighty way this need of shelter, this need of a place to live. Lord, I pray you to provide for them above all that we ask or think, as was already mentioned, Lord. We pray for their children as well, that you would just provide their needs, Lord, each step of the way. We pray that they would be able to stay together as family units, Lord, for your honor and glory. We pray you admire as well as she seeks her children's welfare, Lord. I pray you just bless them in a mighty way, Lord. We look forward to what you're going to do this week. We ask and pray all these things in Jesus' name.
All right, let us sing this wonderful song, Rejoice in the Lord. God never moves without purpose or plan.
God never moves without purpose or plan. When trial
825
bent and molding, amen.
825.
Thanks to the Lord, though testing seems long, in darkness he giveth a song. Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake.
Second verse, we'll have the ladies sing the second.
I could not see through the shadows of
promise from God that he will provide. Let us ask at this time, we'll have our special music by our brother Jerry and sister Mimi. Then we'll dismiss the young people for nursery and junior church, toddler church and junior church.
I noticed, Pastor, in the song that we
we just sang in the chorus there, something I hadn't really paid it in mind before. But he says, "Oh, rejoice in the Lord, he makes no mistake."
Amen.
The author of that had enough sense to not put mistakes. He doesn't even make one mistake.
Amen.
That he kept it in the singular. I thought that just hit me very nicely. I like that this morning. You know, we can have a lot of things in our lives. We strive for a lot of things. We work hard for a lot of things. We're trying to build our assets in our life. We're wanting a nicer home. We like nicer cars. We like this, that, and the other. But we don't need any of that. There's only one thing that we really need, and that's the Lord Himself. And if we have Him as the Savior in our lives, then we have everything. We've got all. We don't need anything else. And if we didn't have Him, what a mess we'd be in. If we gained it all, it would mean nothing. If I gained the world, but not the Savior, were my life worth living for a day? Could my yearning heart find rest and comfort in the things that soon will pass away? If I gained the world, but had not the Savior, would my gain be worth the lifelong strife? Are all worthly pleasures worth comparing for a moment with a Christ-filled life? Had I wealth and love in fullest measure, and a name revered both far and near, yet no hope beyond, no harbor waiting, where my storm-tossed vessel I could steer. If I gained the world, but not the Savior, who endured the cross and died for me, could then all the world afford a refuge? Whither in my anguish I might flee? Oh, the emptiness without the Savior, mid the sins and sorrows here below, and eternity, how dark without Him. Only night and tears and endless woe. What though I might live without the Savior? When I come to die, how would it be? Oh, to face the valley's gloom without Him, and without Him all eternity. Oh, the joy in knowing all in Jesus, what a balm the broken heart to heal. Ne'er a sin so great, but He'll forgive it. Not a sorrow that He does not feel. If I have but Jesus, only Jesus, nothing else in all the world beside, oh, then everything is mine in Jesus. For my needs and more, He will supply.
This time we'll dismiss our junior church, young people, those sixth grade and younger, to go for their special time in learning about God and on their own age level, the toddler church, youth church, and nursery. The rest of us, let's turn our Bibles. We're looking at something different this morning. We're looking at 10 reasons, 10 things that we can be thankful for since we are saved. Since the day we got saved, 10 things we can be thankful for. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. As we look into God's Word this morning, what a blessing. We have so many blessings. As that song stated, if I gained the world but had not Jesus, how sad it would be. But since we have Jesus, He is all we need. That the things of life can come and go. We may have periods of plenty, but then we're going to have periods of need. But no matter what, we have Jesus to take us through all the trials and tribulations of life. And the good, the mountaintop experiences of life, and with Him, He will keep us satisfied in Him. 2 Corinthians 5:17, let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time to look into Your Word. We pray You'd speak to our hearts, that You'd fill me with Thy Spirit, that You'd help each one of us to desire to be thankful this week, that we would show to others the thanks that we have for all that You do provide. Lord, and I pray You just meet these special needs of our dear ones here in this church, of those that have physical health needs, Lord, of dire need of healing, Lord. I pray You just heal them in a mighty way. Pray for those that have dire needs of emotional needs, that You just meet their emotional needs in the Word of God. The facts of the Word of God can build their emotions up to being stable. Pray for those that have perhaps mental needs or spiritual needs, that You would just meet them. I pray for the physical needs, Lord, for food, clothing, shelter, Lord, that You'd meet those needs in a great and mighty way, and that we as a church can be a great blessing to them. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17, we see the first thing we can be thankful for, if you are in Christ this morning, you can be thankful. Let's read this verse together. Therefore, if any man be, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. God says if any of us be in Christ, God uses the generic masculine term to cover all bases, okay? So females can take this and claim this verse just like males can. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. That means He's changed us. We are a new creature. We are not the old, dead creature that gave in to every sinful urge that came along. We're not the old slave to sin that we used to be before we were saved. We are now a new creature in Christ. We are a whole new type of creation of God. That word creature gives the idea of a new beginning. We are a totally new creature. That old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. We don't have to serve the devil this week. We have a choice to make. What's our attitude going to be? Are we going to have the nasty old before we were saved attitude of selfishness and make it a miserable week for us and for all our loved ones? Or are we going to have the brand new attitude that God saved us with? And that is thankfulness and joy and walking with God daily in His righteousness and praying to Him about our problems instead of giving them to everybody else and complaining. You know, we have a choice to make. Are we going to follow our old nature that used to be a slave to the devil? Or are we going to follow our new nature that is created in Christ Jesus unto good works? We have a choice to make. What's your attitude going to be? God can't make that attitude for you. You've got to make that attitude. You've got to claim that you're changed. You're a new creature. You're not doing things the old way. You say maybe Well, I hope it's not like last Thanksgiving or the Thanksgiving before that, because I remember we just quarreled at the as we were making the turkey. Or we just quarreled as we were doing this or doing that. Well, you know what? Then you had a defeated Thanksgiving last time. That you gave into your old nature. You didn't let the Lord and your new nature in Christ, your new that as a new creature in Christ, you didn't let God shine out. So let's make this Thanksgiving a great Thanksgiving by being thankful and letting God, being Spirit-filled. Pray in the morning, Lord, please make me Spirit-filled today. Read the Word of God. Oh, I'm too busy. I got to put the turkey in the oven. Oh, I got to put the gravy on. Oh, I got to put the stuffing. Oh, really? We're too busy to spend time with the Lord? Too busy to gain His wisdom? Then you know what? You're just making the wrong choices. That's what it is. You know, when we're too busy to spend time with God, that means that we don't want God's help in our life. We don't want to be Spirit-filled that day. We want to be flesh-filled. Oh, no, then I can't, you know, let so-and-so have it if they cross me. Or no, then if I'm Spirit-filled, then I can't be ornery, you know. Sometimes we just like being ornery. Isn't that true? We just like being ornery. Well, you know what? That's the old man. That's the old nature. Let's not let the old nature be in control this week. Let's let God's new nature through the Holy Spirit. Let's let the Holy Spirit shine through us this week. Let's have a changed, let's show our changed life. We already have it. It's already ours. We're already changed. Let's show it this week. Number two, next thing to be thankful for this Thanksgiving, Acts 24:16. Back a couple books, Acts 24 and verse 16. The beautiful story of a family and their most unforgettable Thanksgiving. It was 1935. Our country was in the midst of the Great Depression. My mother was 11 years old and one of seven children, ranging in ages from 1 and a half to 16. My grandfather, previously employed at the local limestone mining company, had been laid off with the rest of the workers soon after the Depression began. To feed his family, he took odd jobs whenever available. Hunting and fishing, two sports in which he had engaged as leisure, now became necessary for survival. The family planted a garden each spring, which supplied food for canning. However, this particular year had brought drought and a shortage of food to can. Summer had turned into autumn. With each passing day, my grandfather would seek work, hoping that the mining company would soon reopen. It was late November when my grandmother's test of faith occurred. The last of the canned goods had been used. All the staple items in the cupboard were gone. For breakfast that morning, the children had eaten pancakes made from the last bit of flour and shortening. My grandfather, with the last piece of homemade bread and an apple in his pocket, set off with his dog to hunt squirrel for supper. Time passed too quickly that morning. At noon, my Aunt Emma approached my grandmother. Mother, what are we going to do? We don't have anything left. There's not a bit of anything in the house. I know, she replied, and there's no money either. But I believe God will provide something. I want all of you to gather around me on your knees. We're going to pray and ask God to help us. She led her children in prayer. When she finished, she asked her son William to bring her Bible and turn to Psalm 37. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young, and now am old, yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. God will not forsake us, she said. Let us thank him for taking care of us and for all that he has given us. With bowed head and closed eyes, she led her children in prayer again. While they were still praying, someone knocked loudly at the door. It startled the baby, and he began to cry. My grandmother cautiously went to the door and opened it. There stood a young man she had never seen before. He looked very pleasant and was dressed neatly and modestly. Mrs. Henry? Yes. I was told you had need of this and was sent here to deliver it to you, he said, handing her a white envelope. The envelope contained $50. Quite a substantial amount for those days. Surprised, when she opened the envelope, my grandmother looked up. The stranger had gone. So she sent William running down the hill to ask the man to come back. She wanted to thank him, and to satisfy her curiosity, she wanted to ask his name and from where he had come. William returned and said, "Mother, there is no man on the road. I've looked up and down, and there is no man on the road. I don't know where he could have gone. Where do you suppose he came from, and why did he give us that money?" he added. "Because God knew we needed it," she answered. "I believe, William, that truly that man was an angel sent to us from God because we were in need." She pressed her son's hand in her own and turned back toward the house, walking slowly, with tears streaming down her face. To her children, all standing in the yard, she said, "Let's get ready to go into town. God wants us to have supper tonight." That $50 provided the family with enough food to last throughout the winter, and by spring, my grandfather had his old job back. My mother told me this story when I was a little girl. I've told it to my own children, and I hope they will tell to their children how a simple act of faith brought a messenger from God. I hope that reminds us God answers prayer. When you get to the very end, the best thing we can do is pray. Gather around and pray that God answers prayer beyond what we can even ask or think. But so many times as Christians, we don't want to do the righteous thing. We want to do the do-it-myself thing. I'm going to do it myself. And we try to go to every corner to do it ourselves. But God says, no, this has to come but by prayer and fasting. And sure enough, God can do great and mighty things. Acts 24:16, God can provide all our needs as we just seek Him. The only condition that He asks of us to provide all our needs, you realize that? He only has one condition. Usually God's promises always carry a condition. All through the Bible, they're called promise condition verses. The one condition God asks to provide our needs is that we be righteous. That we be righteous. You say, "Pastor, that's too hard. I can't be righteous. I am such a sinner, and I'm backslidden. I can't be righteous." Well, isn't that what God wants? To bring us out of our backslidden state, to get right with Him, to realize our sin is not solving our problems, to realize our sins are making us have bigger and bigger needs. And so He says, just repent. Confess your sin to God. Confess so that you can be righteous again, so you can have right standing before God, so you can have fellowship with God, so God can then answer your prayers. David said in Psalms, he said, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." A lot of times we say, "Oh, I prayed about it and it never came. God doesn't want me to have my needs met," and we throw a pity party. Well, no, we prayed, but we were in sin as we were praying. We were still holding on to our lust of the flesh, or a lust of the eyes, or the pride of life, and we were asking at the same time. You know, God can't, He says a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Now we've got to let go of the sin and say, "Okay, Lord, I've got nothing else that I'm holding on to but You. Please meet this need," and sure enough, He will come through in such a bountiful and generous way that we will be shocked by what He does. Acts 24 and verse 16, He often allows needs in our life to bring us to that point where we let go of the sin and come back to the Savior. Acts 24, verse 16, it says, "And herein do I exercise myself to have always a conscience void of offense toward God and toward men." This is something that now that we're saved, we now can have a conscience that's void of offense between God and men. That means we don't have to have our heads lay on the pillow every night and say, "Oh boy, I don't want to see so-and-so tomorrow. And I don't want to talk to my husband tomorrow or my wife tomorrow because I know she's mad at me or he's mad at me." No, we can't live life like that. We've got to have our sins confessed between God and men. And then we will have a conscience void of offense. One of the very best gifts that He gives to us, along with our changed life, He gives us a sensitive conscience. A sensitive conscience. Let's not have a conscience that's seared over with a hot iron. "Oh no, I can't even hear my conscience anymore. It's so seared over with a hot iron." You know what happens with meat when you keep when you put something very hot on it? You put the grill on the meat, it sears it. Okay, it sears it, so you get a thin layer of searing on that meat, and that keeps any moisture from going out, or most moisture from going out of the inside of the meat. And you usually want to do that if you want to cook the inside nice and, you know, steady, so you get a rare or a medium rare effect on the meat, and then the outside, so it keeps the juices in. Well, here, this is something we don't want in our conscience. We don't want to sear our conscience, because then nothing can come out. Our conscience that God gave us can't say, hey, you know, you need to change. That we're not going to listen. So a sensitive conscience is a gift from God. Let us get our conscience to that state again by confessing sin to God and to men. Number three, the third thing we can be thankful for as Christians this morning, John 13:35. Third thing we can be thankful for, John 13:35. Let's read that verse together. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Third thing that God saved us, that we can be thankful for, is a passionate love for others. A passionate love for others. God wants us to have a passionate love for other people, to help them in their time of need, to help them if they're going through a burden, a passionate love for others. God wants to give that to you. That's how people know that we're Christians, when we have a passionate love for them. Number four, John 14:27. Let's go over there, one chapter over, John 14:27. If you don't have a Bible, there's Bibles in the row there in front of you in the bookshelf. Does anyone need a Bible? Anyone need a Bible? Okay, fourth thing that we have to be thankful for as Christians, John 14:27. Let's read it together. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Fourth thing is an overwhelming peace in my heart. God has given us His peace. Jesus said that He left His peace with us. Not as the world giveth. The Good News Club kids on Thursday, they were learning this verse. It's a long verse, especially for kindergartners, first, second, third graders, fourth graders. It's a long verse. But you know what? They worked at it. And even those kindergartners were able to say half of that verse. Why? Because of repetition and just teaching them. And we give incentive. If they learn the verse, they get a little prize. And it's amazing how they learned that peace I leave with you, Jesus said. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. See, the world's peace is not the lasting soul peace that Jesus gives in our heart. That no matter what happens to us, life goes up and down, and life is good today, but not tomorrow. Well, guess what? Jesus' peace helps us through no matter what we're going through. The world's peace is... the world's peace is, oh, you need to have peace and quiet, you know. The world's peace is, oh, just take a nap, you know. The world's peace is just have a moment of quiet, you know. That's why the world loves to go into the yoga meditation or the other types of meditation and just free their mind of everything. Why? Because they don't know how to have real peace. And so they're always looking for these alternatives to real quietness. But that's because their soul is still troubled. They're trying to find peace however they can. But Jesus promises peace, not as the world giveth, but peace of soul. Peace of soul. Number five, Psalm 63:5. What else do we have to be thankful for this Thanksgiving? Psalm 63:5. Now that we're saved... Psalm 63:5. Let us read that one together. Psalm 63 and verse 5. Okay, let us read it together. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. Here we have, what do we have here? That is a blessing from God now that we're saved. Anyone? Okay, joy, good. Peace, good. That word with an S, starts with an S. Satisfaction. My soul shall be satisfied. That a powerful sense of satisfaction now that we know Christ. That the world is constantly looking for satisfaction. They're trying to find satisfaction in the iPhone XS or whatever. What's the latest one? 11? 10R, okay. They're trying to find satisfaction in that. Well, what happened with the last 15 iPhones? Why didn't that give them satisfaction? Because it doesn't come from an object. You know, they're trying to find satisfaction with the newer car. Trying to find satisfaction with a friend, with a boyfriend, a girlfriend, a spouse. They're trying to find satisfaction with this thing and that thing, this person, that person. And then when all those things go wrong and they can't find it there, then they go to the vices. Try to find it in drugs. Try to find it in the first it's marijuana. Then it goes to heroin. Then it goes to dope. It goes to other drugs, and then it goes even to methamphetamine, which will kill you. And that's what.
Forget about fentanyl.
And fentanyl. That's what I was thinking of. Meth, and then fentanyl. Then they go to the far down as they go. Why? Because they want that high, that satisfaction in their body, because they don't have it in their soul. As Christians, we have Jesus who satisfies us in our soul. Ira D. Sankey, the great song leader for music evangelist alongside Dwight L. Moody, the latter years of his life he lived in Brooklyn, New York. After 5 years of blindness, he died there and is buried in the very large Greenwood Cemetery in the city. He is remembered now for his song, The 90 and 9. When a cousin visited him in Brooklyn in May 1907, out of his blindness and frailty, he dictated a farewell message to his friends. I believe in him who said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I believe in the Son of God with all my soul, might, mind, and strength, and am therefore saved by the word of one who cannot lie. I have only a little longer weary tossing on the billow's foam, only a little longer of earthly darkness, then the sunshine of the Father's heaven. So sure am I of meeting in heaven those of my friends who are following the Lamb, that I send them this final message that God is love. Good night, signed Ira D. Sankey. Sankey's eyes were blind, but the light of the presence of Christ was flooding his soul. Now we're going to read a contrasting view. Someone who did not have Jesus. The contrasting view is one held by the famous Indian Gandhi. Some so-called Christian leaders have tried to represent Gandhi as a Christian because of his pacifism and personal standards of morality. But those who designate Gandhi as a Christian need to remember his own words shortly before his death. Gandhi said, My days are numbered. I am not likely to live very long, perhaps a year or a little more. For the first time in 50 years, I find myself in the slough of despond. All about me is darkness. I am praying for light. Without Christ, even the best morality amounts to nothing. We need Jesus in our life at salvation. And then we need him to be close to us each day so we have that powerful sense of satisfaction in life. Now, Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Let's go over there. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. What else? Number 6. What else are we thankful for now that we're saved? Colossians chapter 2. Verses 6 and 7. Let us read it together when you have found it. Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Is everyone there? Okay. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. As we received Christ Jesus the Lord at our salvation, the day of our salvation, what year was it for you? Tell me what year you got saved. Yes, me. 67, wonderful. When was it for you? 93, good. 48. Who else? 1990. When did you get saved? 2017, wonderful. Patty. 98, wonderful. Who else? 96. 2019, wonderful. Praise the Lord. Eric. Last year. Amen. Amen. All right, so that's when we trusted Christ as Savior. But now, God says, so walk ye in him. Just like you depended upon him wholly for your salvation, now you need to depend on him every day for your growth. Walk in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. As we walk with God each day, what are we going to have? We're going to be abounding therein with thanksgiving. We're going to have so much thanksgiving, it's going to be abounding in us. It's literally going to be popping like abounding. That's the word that means popping like popcorn. Okay? How quick does popcorn pop when you get it to a certain temperature? Oh, it pops all over the place. Boy, it's pop, 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 and you can't stop it. Why? Because those kernels get heated to a certain point, and they just can't help but popping out and giving that wonderful. How many of us would like to have a bag of popcorn that you did not heat up yet? Just want to chew those corn kernels. Ugh. You say, that's gross. You break your teeth, you know? You say, oh, Pastor, that makes my teeth hurt just thinking about it. Well, they're not meant to be done. But here it is. So a Christian who's got saved years ago, but they're not walking in Christ, that's like the Christian trying to eat popcorn without heating it up first. They're trying to have thanksgiving. They're trying to abound in thanksgiving, but the heat of the Word of God, the heat of prayer, the heat of staying close to Christ, Christ's heat is not getting to them. So it's like, it's a miserable existence. It's, some of the most miserable people in all the world, you know who they are? They're not the unsaved, although they're very miserable too. The most miserable man or woman you'll ever meet is not the unsaved. It's the Christian who's backslid and out of the will of God. The Christian who's disobedient to God and has long ago decided to not walk with God. They are the most miserable person you'll ever meet. Why? Because they know better. They have a mental knowledge that, wait, I'm saved. I should be walking with God. But why is my life so horrible? Because they're away from the Lord. And so they're the most miserable people you'll ever meet because they're not right with God. So let's not add misery to our Thanksgiving this Thanksgiving. Let's walk with God. Let's stay close to him. Let's confess our sin, and he will give us that sense of gratitude, that he will give us that thankfulness inside. Jeremiah 15 and verse 16. Jeremiah 15, verse 16. Thank you. Amen. So what did Jeremiah want each day? What did he want to do? He wanted to read the Word of God. He wanted to not just read it, but he wanted to do what with it? Did he just want it to be a... He wanted that quick verse of the day, you know. Oh, I'm going to look at my cell phone, that quick verse of the day. Okay, I got my verse. I'm done. Thank God. All right, I'm moving on. Is that Jeremiah's devotional life with God? No. Is that going to be enough to... No. I mean, it's better than nothing. If all you get is the verse of the day, hey, at least you're getting something. But is that enough to really feed your soul on? Your soul is hungry. Every day our soul is hungry. Our spirit is hungry. That spiritual part of us is desiring and longing spiritual food. How well are you feeding it? If we could look at every person, not today how well we feed our physical body, but if we could see our spiritual body, how well are we feeding our spirit? You know, some of us would barely be, we'd be on a stretcher. Some of us would be in a wheelchair. Some of us would be, immediately you'd have to call 911 and get you the spiritual hospital. And this is the spiritual hospital, so you're in the right place, okay? We'd have to get you here to church. Why? Because you'd be so frail because you've only fed on just a verse here, a verse there. And your spiritual soul, your soul is just malnourished. Well, here Jeremiah says, no, he says, thy words were found and I did eat them. That's what we should desire every day, is to eat the Word of God, to get it into our inmost being, the inmost part of us. And I did eat them, and they were unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. I like what J.N. Darby said about the Bible. He said, I have a profound, unfeigned faith in the Bible. Through grace I have been converted, enlightened, quickened, and saved by it. Through the Bible I have received the knowledge of God, to adore the perfections of Jesus, the Savior, joy, strength, and comfort to my soul. Many have been indebted to ministers of the gospel or to friends as the means of their being brought to God. This was not my case. That work which is always God's was wrought in me by the means of the written word. He who knows the value of Jesus will know how precious the Bible will be to such a one as myself. If I have failed the Bible in nearly 30 years of difficulty and varied life and labor, I have never found it to fail me. If it has not failed for the poor and needy circumstances of time through which we feebly passed, I am assured it will never fail for eternity. The Word of God abideth forever. Just as the love of God reaches even to me, applying itself to every detail of my feebleness and failure. Proving to be divine by doing so, the Word of God, which reaches down even to my lowest state, also reaches up to God's height, because it is from God. As Jesus came from God and went to God, so does the book that divinely reveals Him come from and lead to Him. If received, it has brought the soul to God, for He has revealed Himself in it. It is positive proofs, all are in itself. The sun needs no light to see it by. I declare in the fullest, clearest, and distinctest manner possible my deep, divinely taught conviction of the inspiration of the Scriptures. When I read the Bible, I read it as of absolute authority for my soul as God's Word. There is no higher privilege than to have communications directly from God Himself. For nearly 30 years, my joy, my comfort, my food, and my strength have been the Scriptures, received without question as the Word of God. At the beginning of that period, I was put through the deepest exercise of soul on this point. Were heaven and earth, the visible church, and man himself to crumble away, I would through grace hold to the Word as an unbreakable link between my soul and God. Because of what we are, I do not doubt that the grace of the Holy Spirit is needed to make the Word of God profitable and give it real authority to our souls. But that does not change what it is in itself. To be true, when it is received, it must have been true before. Here I will add that although it requires the grace of God and the work of the Holy Spirit to give it quickening power, yet God's Word, divine truth, has a hold on the natural conscience from which it cannot escape. The light detects the wrongdoer, though he may hate the light. This is exactly what shows the wickedness of man's will in rejecting God's Word. Men resist it because it is true. did it not reach their conscience, they would not take so much effort to get rid of it or disprove it. Men do not arm themselves against straws, but against a sword whose keen edge is felt and feared. The Bible speaks of grace as truth as well as truth. It speaks of God's grace and love, who gave his only begotten Son, that so that sinners like you and me might be with him. It is his desire that we know him deeply, intimately, and enjoy him now, that the conscience, perfectly purged, might joy in his presence, without a cloud, without reproach, without fear. To be there in such a way in his love is perfect joy. The Word will tell you the truth concerning yourself, but it will also tell you the truth of a God of love, while unfolding the wisdom of his counsels. Let me add, dear reader, that the best means by far of assuring yourself of the truth and authority of the Word of God is to read the Word itself. So this man, he tried to see if the Bible is really true or not. He went and he studied it out and he searched it, and guess what? He found it to be very true. And he got saved. And then he was able to then draw on his strength for so many years. We can do the same. We don't need to be spiritual in a spiritual coma. We don't need to be spiritually sick and in the hospital. We can be spiritually vibrant and full of life if we will just feed on his word each day and pray. And you'll find you won't be coming Sunday and then through the week slowly crashing and burning and then just barely dragging yourself out of bed Sunday morning again to come and then have a good mountaintop experience and then slowly crash and burn the next week and then wake and just dragging yourself into church. And you know, that's a week without the word. That's a week without prayer. That's the crash and burn, backslidden experience. We want the daily experience of God by doing what Jeremiah did, reading his word and eating it up, desiring it so much that our soul gets fed and nourished from its life-giving power. Then lastly, number 8, Hebrews 10:25. The last thing that some of the 8 things we can be thankful for as Christians, Hebrews 10, and verse 25, right near the end of the Bible. Hebrews. Right after Titus and Philemon, we have Hebrews 10 and verse 25. Let's read this verse together. Hebrews 10:25, let's read it together. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. So as Jesus' return comes closer and closer, what should we be doing as his people? Should we be gathering less and less? Oh yeah, Pastor, haven't you heard they have church on Saturday night now. So that way, if you're busy on Sunday, if you have to go to the beach on Sunday, you can have church Saturday night. Don't you know, Pastor, they followed the Catholics in doing that. Yeah. Well, let me tell you that the Catholics have never been right, okay? They didn't find their doctrine on the Word of God. They found their doctrine based upon man's foolishness, man's doctrine. And the popes and cardinals of all through history have continued to add to the Word of God and take people away further and further and further from the Word of God. So the Catholics were never right in the first place. So why are Protestants, those who are saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, why are Protestants following Catholics back to Rome? It's because that's exactly what Jesus said. Before he returns, he said, will there be faith found on the earth? Great question. Great question. Will there be faith down on the earth, Jesus said? Are there going to be enough Bible-believing Christians who not just know the Bible, but are still living it? The New Testament principles of being faithful to me. Are they going to still be doing the ordinances in the local church? Are they still going to be meeting and gathering? Or are they just going to give in to the apostate, false veneer of Christianity that's in the world? Jesus said, will there be faith found when I come? And so we see here, it's on the Satan is attacking the true faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. And he's attacking and he's trying to get to you and I, as Bible-believing Christians, to get us away from the church. To get us out of church. Stop. No, don't come Sunday night. Don't you know that this and that. And the football game. You know what? Do we really even care what happened last week in the football game? In 100 years, is it going to matter what happened at the football game tonight on the NFL stage? No. In 100 years, will it matter whether you and I were at church tonight? Absolutely. Jesus is going to, he's getting his rewards ready. He's getting ready. He's making up his jewels. He's making up crowns. He's getting his rewards ready. It will matter eternally whether you and I are in church tonight. But it will not matter one bit. It will just be Burna who wins the game tonight. And that's what we need to see. The devil is trying to put the non-eternal perspective in our minds. So impressed. So that we do not think upon what Jesus is preparing at the judgment seat of Christ. That we are not in the Christian life to please ourselves. We are in the Christian life. As Paul said, I have one goal in mind. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to please Him. Don't get me off. Don't get me sidetracked. Don't get me out of church. I want to please Jesus. And so you say, well, Pastor, you pick us up on the van and you don't pick us up on Sunday. Church right there where you are. Have time right there where you are in the Word of God and in prayer, and I guarantee you, listen, maybe you can tune in and listen to the church service on our website, and I guarantee you, you will be blessed. Whereas if you would have stayed home and done nothing, you would not be blessed. And so here we see not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some is, but exhorting one another. God has literally called us to challenge each other. Hey, keep challenging, Christians. Keep exhorting one another. Beware of the deceitfulness of sin. But exhort one another daily of assembling together. That's what we need to be doing. In the New Testament, you say, well, pastors, they have Sunday night service. They had Sunday night service. They had Sunday morning service. They had Monday night service. They had Tuesday night service. They had Wednesday night service. They had Thursday Bible studies. They had Friday night service. They had Saturday night service. And then back to Sunday again. The early Christians there in Jerusalem, they met daily. You say, Pastor, whoa, daily. I don't think we can do that. So can we at least do Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night? I say yes. With God's help, yes. We can do it. You say, well, I go to bed at 7:30 or 8:30. Well, leave right at the end of church. Come at 7, leave at 8, go home, go right to bed. And I guarantee you, that extra half hour, hour that you're up, that God will make up and more in your life through the week. Because God is the great giver. He's the one who gave us our time to begin with. Let us bow together in prayer. I'd like every head bowed, every eye closed. As we close this service this morning, every head bowed, every eye closed. Perhaps you're here this morning and say, Pastor Rice, you know, God has challenged me on one of these areas of gratitude in my life since I've been saved. And I realize He wants me to give over and surrender something in my life to Him. And I want to do that this morning. I want to surrender in a certain area of my life. I want to give that over to God so that I can have His blessing and His favor in my life. If that's you, just slip up your hand quickly, quietly, right there you see. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to surrender. If God has spoken to me in some area of my life, and I want to surrender that to the Lord, and I'm asking God for His help to follow through now in obedience. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time to be reminded of these great truths from Your Word. Help us to obey. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us turn in our hymn book as we close this service. Let us turn in our hymn book 507. 507. Let's all stand together as we sing this song. 507.